This month's featured nutrient at drhoffman.com, EGCG Ultra, bringing you the benefits of green tea in a concentrated form. For all your supplement needs, shop our store at drhoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it is time for Q&A with Layla, which is our weekly discussion. Layla Mutin is a nutritionist at the Hoffman Center, and we, on a weekly basis, collect your questions, and we field them, and we provide you with answers and insights about issues related to intelligent medicine. And those of you who are not familiar with Layla, Layla is our nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. We work together on a daily basis, helping patients with sometimes challenging health problems. And she also is a registered dietitian, and she has earned a master's degree in the field of nutrition. And how long have you been practicing nutritional medicine, Layla?
Since about 2002.
To 2002. So a wealth of experience, including some experience working with the late, great Dr. Robert Atkins.
So,
one of those, you actually recall those exciting days of the Atkins Center towards the end of Dr. Atkins' brilliant career, where miracles happened on a daily basis. So,
honestly, it was quite the education.
Indeed.
And it continues to be,
Well, I think that's one of the exciting things about the field of medicine in general, but also this type of medicine, because we are called upon it on a daily basis to come up with answers for challenging health problems, and that involves a daily inquiry, reading all the medical literature, keeping up with all the developments, and our patients keep us on our toes, don't they? Because they often bring in articles of interest, they ask us about supplements that have just appeared on our radar screen. And so we have to do our due diligence constantly to find out what's in our patient's interest.
Well, we've got some very intelligent patients.
Intelligent medicine, intelligent patients. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So any big happenings on the nutrition front this week? We have a very interesting newsletter article. Actually, yours is interesting, but I'll tell you, our listeners, a little bit about mine. And you can find it posted at drhoffman.com. By the way, subscribe to our newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com and put your email in the newsletter box, and we will not send you numerous solicitations to buy things. We'll merely send you an informational newsletter on a weekly basis that I'm sure you're going to like. I think this week, either we just did or we're about to surpass 3,000 subscribers.
Yes.
And that's pretty good, because we've only been doing this for about, 6 months or something like that.
Exactly.
So really,
and we were on the low end, and now it's just flying. The membership is growing exponentially. It's
remember when we started? We had it was 80 people signed up.
Yeah.
it's really mushrooming. We should only have bank accounts that expand at that rate. Percentage rate. It's we get about 5% interest a week on this particular account in terms of numbers. So anyway, so to our many newsletter subscribers, we thank you. We appreciate your getting the newsletter. It's sent to your email on a weekly basis, and our click-through rate is very high, I understand, for newsletters, because a lot of people get newsletters and it's like yet another thing. They put it in the discard box. They don't read it. But we got a 40% click-through rate, which means that we actually can track that statistic. So that's pretty exciting. So this week I wrote, every week I try to come up with something that I think is going to be compelling for our listeners. Last week it was 4 additional drugs that you should avoid. And that was very popular. We got a lot of clicks on that on Facebook and a lot of shares. Very popular article. And this week, so I said, well, how do I top that? And I came up with an idea, which I think that you will like. It's 10 answers that you can give to supplement skeptics. And you may encounter, you read the article, of course, you might encounter that skeptic in your doctor's office, or alternatively, that may be your Uncle Fred at the next Sunday dinner. People who say, well, you're wasting your time, you're making expensive urine, there's no proof, and we help you with some helpful talk back on some of the themes of the supplement naysayers in that article, and hope that you'll find it interesting. And I think you'll be forearmed when confronted with people who are not supportive of your choice to use supplements.
Excellent. Excellent idea.
And your article is on what this week?
On how to treat acne.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
You know, it's not just about teenagers. There are various reasons for acne, and I discuss some of them and what we do about it and the proper testing, and then, you know, with links to the proper supplements as well. So hopefully it will be helpful for our readers. But there is myriad reasons for acne, and it's not just about the hormonal changes of adolescence. It happens in perimenopause. It happens in estrogen dominance. It happens in polycystic ovarian syndrome, ovary syndrome, PCOS, all kinds of things. So good to look at.
Great. And in the news this week, interesting article about, you know, cell phones. They say cell phones are perfectly harmless, no problem.
And, oh, I don't believe that. Do you?
Well, of course not. And so a guy was sitting with me today, and he said, okay, let me just silence my cell phone. So he reaches down to his front pocket. He pulls out his cell phone, and he turns it off, which is thank you, because it's courteous. You know, he didn't at least,
yeah.
Proper, even though he's a 32-year-old guy, he knew proper cell phone etiquette, which is don't answer your cell phone in the doctor's office.
Right.
And he put it back in his pocket. I said, do you realize that that cell phone can damage your sperm?
Mm-hmm.
Because according to a new article, just came out this week in Science Daily, that's a little scary, because if a cell phone that you put in your front pocket can damage your sperm, so, you know, his reaction was immediately he took the cell phone. He said, oh, thanks for telling me. So he put it in his front pocket on his left side. And I said, okay, so now it's this little electronic device is sitting right over your heart. Do you know what an electrocardiogram is? That's the electrical impulses of your heart. Maybe you don't want to put it there either.
Yeah.
or I saw a gal the other day. She had a touch in her.
And imagine what it does to your brain when
you're talking
on the phone.
Exactly. If you're talking,
I think we're going to have more brain tumor in future. We're going to see more people with brain tumors, gliomas, and things. So,
it's already happening. And actually, some studies have been done which examine people's cell phone style. Because usually, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I answer the cell phone, and I try to do it as rarely as possible, and I don't like talking on the cell phone, but I'm usually
like talking on the cell phone.
It's always on one side. So, if I use it a lot, you know, the chances are more likely to develop a brain tumor on the right side, because that's where I always listen, you know. So, anyway.
And I still have a landline at home, so I'm not reliant on cell phones, really.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, I will text.
Yep.
And I don't carry it on my body.
Right. Yeah, I carry mine in my briefcase away from my body. So
in my purse.
We'll try to minimize it. All right, good. So, and those of you who listen to podcasts of Intelligent Medicine, please don't, put your cell phone on your pillow and run podcasts of Intelligent Medicine while it sits next to your ear at night. use those earbuds and keep the cell phone away from your head. Okay.
Yeah, keep it away from your head, away from your nightstand. If your nightstand is 3 inches from your head, don't keep it there either. At least put it in the drawer.
Okay, lots more exciting stories of that nature, but I'll save them for the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, which is aired on WOR and many other stations across the country. And, of course, you can listen live via drhoffman.com starting at noon Eastern time and extending to 2 p.m. And you can listen wherever you are across the world. We have many listeners in strange parts of the world. We have listeners in England. We have listeners in Europe. We even have listeners in Africa, Australia. It's exciting. All right. So we have questions. So let's start with some of the questions.
Okay. This comes from Mike. Mike says, by far, Dr. Hoffman, your podcasts are the best thing on the radio, and I'm addicted to them.
Wow. There must be something to take for that, for podcast addiction.
Podcast addiction.
Like Podcasts Anonymous or something?
PA. Okay.
Yeah, right.
I have greatly changed and altered my diet based on your nutritional information over the years, and I'm appalled by the diets of most Americans. Well, Mike, so are we. Question. My girlfriend basically eats fast food at least once a day. Her 12-year-old daughter has been raised with no vegetables, no fruits, and eats packaged chicken nuggets, tons of soda, for the most part, since age 2. At 12 years old now, she's about 4'6" tall and 20 pounds overweight. Is it possible her small high her parents, and her poor grades at school are results of her awful diet since birth. My girlfriend says no, it's a learning disability, and wants to put her daughter on medication such as Strattera for her cognitive impairment.
Yeah, well,
oh boy,
isn't that the way of the world? I mean, you know, here you have a situation, and this, you might be in a situation, for those of you who are listening to this podcast, many of you are in a situation where you're sort of haplessly and helplessly observing someone who is way off track, and their diets are abysmal, and they seek a medical fix using a drug.
Yeah.
And this is really an example of that kind of situation, because not only do we have example of mental health being impaired with poor nutrition, but we actually have the signs of physical malnutrition. We have simultaneously undernutrition with the short stature of this gal, and overnutrition, because what she's getting is empty calories that are bereft of the nutrients that she needs. So there's both height inhibition and waistline accentuation, and then there's behavioral and learning problems. Isn't, boy, you know, this is such a classic question. So, you know, let's describe, you know, maybe you can start, because we do see patients like this from time to time. Although most of our patients are pretty nutritionally sophisticated, and if children come in, their parents are pretty much already attuned to nutritional
That's
considerations.
True.
So it's the rare patient we see who's on such a terrible program.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, interestingly, we saw a patient the other day who came to us from China with an interpreter. And what's interesting is that the Chinese are really in trouble because their diets are abysmal. They don't take any supplements, and there are very few holistic doctors. And even though this individual was pretty affluent, he was apparently a businessman in China. And I asked him how many employees he had, and the interpreter asked him, how many employees do you have? And he came back and he said, 2,000 employees. So here's an affluent person in China on the most abysmal diet, no supplements, and he's on four or five different medications for high blood pressure, diabetes. He has fatty liver, and he feels exhausted and lousy all the time, and he's only in his early 60s. So, you know, we do see this to some extent, but in looking at a child like this, what are some of the considerations from the diet that was described?
First of all, the cognitive impairment and the short stature, I would question right away if there's any kind of gluten sensitivity right there.
Yes, okay, good.
Or even celiac disease, as well as other food allergies. And again, it's not typical for us to have a patient with a parent who just doesn't get it about food. That, you know, they many people, not many of our patients, but many people say, well, what does the diet really have to do with it? It's just something I'm eating, as if it's got it. Well, it goes into you, it assimilates, it's absorbed, there's nutrition there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, you know, your body, what your body is the reflection of the fuel that you're actually using.
Right.
You know, if you put apple juice in your car, do you expect it to run?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're more elegant metabolically, but it's the same principle. So the considerations here, besides cleaning up the diet, looking for gluten, possibly dairy, but I would wonder about what's going on in her gut as well. The learning disability is screaming at me right now. I think there are a lot of nutritional considerations there.
Well, what happens to a person? What is missing when a person subsists on no fruits and vegetables? Probably they didn't specify, I don't think, but this child probably consumes no fish, correct?
Probably.
Chicken nuggets. Okay. Mm. So what are we going to find in terms of nutritional aberrations? Because we do pretty extensive testing. What could come up?
We're
going to
find
like
lots of deficiencies.
Yeah.
We're going to find tons of deficiencies there. She's going to be low in her essential fatty acids. She's going to be low in antioxidants, critical antioxidants. She may even have high triglycerides at the age of 12. She may have higher blood sugars, given that she's
high
overweight.
High insulin. I mean, we might see on a glucose tolerance test, so especially an overweight child, we might perform a glucose tolerance test and see not just, I mean, even if the child's not diabetic, the child may have high insulin, which is socking the fat around her midsection.
Yeah. I would also worry about toxic metals as well. If she's subsisting on chicken nuggets, I worry about arsenic. With her cognitive impairment, I worry about lead.
Mm-hmm.
She's not having fish, but I would still worry about mercury. If she's having tons of soda, high fructose corn syrup is another source of mercury, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would worry. I I would give this little girl a complete workup.
There was a book once by an author named Simontacci. I think her first name is Carol Simontacci. Her full name is Carol Simontacci. And the book is entitled Crazy Makers. And I thought, that's a great title, because it was a book about children with attention deficit disorder and how, in effect, the diets that these children are subsisting on, loaded with preservatives, artificial ingredients, and bereft of healthy brain essential nutrients, cause cognitive problems.
MSG. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, we feel sorry for, this child. The child doesn't know any better. The parents are not enlightened. We hope that, by dint of some miracle, this podcast can be replayed for them.
Dr. Hoffman, if I was a gambling person, yeah, I would bet the bank that she would improve by at the very least 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Given what we would uncover, what we would find out about her and get her on the right program.
Yeah.
At least 50%. Really, I'm being conservative saying that, because I think it would be way more than that.
Yeah, I mean, so, this, in effect, those types of patients are very exciting to see, because they're doing so much wrong that, adding essential fatty acids, adding a good multivitamin, adding vitamin D, a probiotic, modifying the diet, just a few simple tweaks can go a long way towards improving their status. And, one of the new tools we have, we should share with listeners, is that we now assess people with developmental disorders, behavioral problems, schizophrenia, depression, children with ADD, with a new tool that is called the MTHFR test. And it's part of a new profile, the GenoMind profile, that is easy to perform with a simple saliva sample. And it actually tells us a lot about the genetic predisposition to various types of mental disorders.
Yeah.
And even gives us some insights into why some people have a heck of a time losing weight, because there are certain brain neurotransmitter patterns that are revealed in the genes. And this can sometimes give us clues as to the right strategy for weight loss. So that's just, we have some fascinating new tools at our disposal, and I'm just itching to use them on as many patients as we can undertake this with.
The MTHFR, the whole story about that is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating, given that all of this fortification of our food system with folic acid may not have been the greatest thing to do. There are just so many things here now to look at. So it's very exciting. I'm actually very excited by it.
Yes.
I'm very excited, and I'm very terrified at the same time of what's been going on all this time before anybody knew about this. So,
Well, at least, when we became aware of folic acid as an important nutrient for neonatal development, we started using the artificial form of vitamin B7, which is folic acid, which some people do fine with, and at least it's an improvement over no folic acid.
That's true.
But
That's true.
We can do better using some of the methylated forms of the B vitamins, and I think that's going to be a big theme going forward in 2014 and beyond. But that's a discussion for another time. You want more information on that, go back to my podcast recently with
Dr. Ben Lynch.
Yeah, Dr. Ben Lynch, we really outlined that whole approach. It's a very, very revolutionary way to look at many types of complex health problems. So let's see. We have time for one short question. And then
one short question. Okay.
One short question, because we're going to divide this podcast into two parts. We'll complete part one with a short question, and then we can go to part two.
Okay. Dr. Hoffman, for Peyronie's disease, are there any recommended supplements or foods that might assist in correcting this condition?
If I were a punning person, I said one short question.
Wait, we have to tell everybody what Peyronie's disease.
Not one bent question or one crooked question. Okay.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up, you get to explain it.
It's a curved penis.
Okay.
That's what that, to my knowledge, I don't know any more about it, what would cause that or what.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So this is Peyronie's disease is one of the fibrotic diseases that actually include something called Dupuytren's contracture. Sometimes people develop sort of a hard, horny tendon in their hand that causes their hand to curl up. And this is the result of sclerosis or a sclerosing type disorder. Or a fibrotic kind of condition where excess fibrin is deposited and then results in effect, scar tissue. And Peyronie's disease is actually fairly common in men. It's surprisingly common. And it sometimes results in literally a bent penis, a penis that could be bent as much as a 90-degree angle or twisted, which makes intercourse very difficult, painful, can result in sexual dysfunction, is a source of great consternation. I mean, this is no laughing matter. Sometimes it results from trauma which can occur with rough intercourse or trauma to the penis, and then the scar tissue forms. But sometimes it just forms spontaneously because some men are scar formers. They have a gene that makes them more prone to fibrosis. And it is a very tough condition to eradicate. Actually, on the high-tech front, they developed a medication that could be injected into the hands of patients with Dupuytren's contracture. And when they developed that, I said, gee, that's really interesting. I wonder if that's going to be helpful for Peyronie's disease. Well, sure enough, the same medication that dissolves the fibrotic plaque in the hand now is being explored in use for Peyronie's disease. But Peyronie's disease often is a surgical problem where they go in, and as unpleasant as it may sound, they remove the hard plaque as best as they can without damaging the circulation or the nerves in the penis, which is really quite a feat of surgery, and they try to fix it that way. And sometimes that is successful, and sometimes it's not that successful. But in terms of natural strategies,
what would you think about enzymes like bromelain or even Wobenzyme?
I think those have a place. But things that have been studied, vitamin E has been studied in this at high doses. Also, high doses of a B vitamin that people don't think of too often. It's PABA, P-A-B-A, paraaminobenzoic acid, which is one of the B vitamins. But at very high doses, there's actually a medication made by a pharmaceutical company called Schwartz Pharma called POTABA, P-O-T-A-B-A. And you have to take about 12 or 16 grams of it a day, which means a lot of pills or a powder. You have to take it in divided doses. It's kind of hard to take. It's rather bitter. There are some clinical studies that show that it is helpful for Peyronie's disease and for these types of fibrotic conditions. The problem is compliance. It's kind of hard to take. The medication is not really that popular, but it is natural, and it's pretty harmless. Also, some studies have shown that high-dose vitamin E can be helpful in the range of like 1,000 a day, perhaps even higher. But the studies are a little inconclusive. MSM may be helpful in this condition because we know that DMSO has an anti-fibrotic effect, and the problem with DMSO is that if you take it orally, it just makes you stink up the whole room. It exudes from your skin with a garlicky odor, and MSM is odorless and can be employed for this. So those are some things that can be tried. But you got to see a urologist. The urologist may turn you on to some of the new anti-fibrotic medications, which unfortunately can't be taken orally. They have to be injected directly into where.
Would those medications be indicated for somebody with scleroderma?
So far, they've not been employed in scleroderma. I think scleroderma is it's an extensive fibrotic disease, but perhaps it could work on the fingertips, the hardened fingertips of somebody with scleroderma. But I'm not sure that that is going to translate. So far, we don't think that Peyronie's is an autoimmune disease. We do know that scleroderma is an autoimmune disease. So
right.
Anyway, so that's I'm not sure what else is available on that front, but those are some of the plausible things.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Good luck,
this
Frank.
Yes, indeed. Okay. This is a good inflection point for us to take a break. We will return with additional questions in part two of this week's Q&A with Layla. And Layla, give us a preview of what's coming up in the second part.
Plantar fasciitis.
All right.
And yeah. What about resveratrol in wine?
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So coming up, part two of Q&A with Layla. Stay with us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.